Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Cindy Baldwin.
And you're listening to the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast that we do twice a week for needlework, ground cloth stabbers.
Oh, we're stabbing today, huh?
Yeah, we haven't stabbed in a while, so we might as well. So in the hour and a half that we've been talking before we recorded here, we have talked about copyrights. And I had decided, I guess we were talking about that at the last live show, and then I recorded a show with a designer here a few days ago. And we ended up doing 15 minutes of Carolyn Manning. And we ended up doing a good 15 minutes at the end of that show on copyright and what her experiences have been. Okay. And just have decided that we're going to keep talking about that. You know, buy your own stuff. Don't share stuff. Make your friends buy their own copy. Protect these copyrights, because the end result is we all lose if designers say, hey, it's not worth it to me.
Right.
Yeah. It's we're working on getting somebody, a lawyer or somebody who can talk to us about what the rules are for copyright so that we have a base to work from. But you're going to be hearing more and more about copyrights, because I don't know what happened with Yvette Stanton, but she was mad, and I got a feeling she had a full right to be. And I'm just going to keep pounding this. Be aware. Buy your own. Just, you know, that's kind of the thing. Buy your own copy of whatever it is, chart, book, whatever. Buy your own. And do not make a copy and give it to your friends. If your friend want it, they can buy theirs, or buy it for them as a gift. I don't care.
Right. Or sell them your copy when you're done.
Right. Something. But
or give it to them when you're done.
Yep. But, you know, heading to the FedEx store and running off 10 copies for your friends is no. Don't do that. So, so we were having a discussion about that, and there's going to be more of that coming up, because it needs to be driven home.
Oh, so, I agree.
Yep. All right. These Wednesday shows are basically I'm battling every week to make sure we have something on Wednesday and then the Sunday show. Uh-huh. But life is in the way from time to time. So tonight, so we have this podcast today, this Wednesday, which we're recording on Monday, but or Tuesday, or I don't even know when we're doing it.
Not Wednesday.
No. We're not. And then next week is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So we're not going to have a Stitch Hour then, because Marg and I are going to church. And then we'll have a Stitch Hour on the 29th. And then there will not be anything the first Wednesday in December. And then we'll try to get back to something. But battling, there'll be a podcast, something. Battling to have two shows a week for those who are always on top of it and getting the shows. So battling to do that. But the Wednesday thing is too much. And as we get into the holidays here, it just gets harder. So we're gonna make it happen somehow. But to do the every other thing is just tough. So subscribe, listen, pay attention, Instagram, YouTube. I post the things. So you'll know. And then obviously listening to the podcast, you'll know what's going on. But podcast this Wednesday and next Wednesday, and then a Stitch Hour after that. It's just difficult to do every other one, but I have to say that since we have switched over and I'm not doing a podcast and a live show every Wednesday, we're not doing a podcast and a live show, whoever it might be with me. Right. I don't hate Wednesdays anymore. So that helps. Because, yeah, those Wednesdays were getting to be an awful lot. So, And, you know, the live shows, it probably doesn't seem like it, but they take a lot of stuff. So, fun to do. We have a great time doing them, but, they take a lot. So,
well, I know people don't realize how much effort you put in to these things beforehand. You always send a list of stuff to talk about out for us, for podcasts and for the live shows. We might not talk about those things, but you've taken the time and effort to put them together so that we don't have dead air. And And I know that takes a lot of time.
Yeah, it all does. I love doing it. It's great fun. But there are physical limits. So, there'll be two things every week. It's just the form that the Wednesdays take. And the Sunday shows, doing a lot of, interviews here in the last couple weeks and coming up, and trying to get them done so that when we get to the break over the holidays, Christmas and New Year's, that I don't have to interview people. A little mental break won't hurt. But to make that happen is getting a lot of them scheduled and interviewed. So I got some tremendous people coming up. Sunday's guest, Roberta Wagner. I think it's robertawagner.com. Mm-hmm. Textile artist. Holy smokes, is she amazing. She uses paper, and I knew I'd forget what the name of the paper. It's some specialized paper. But she paints. She uses beeswax, uses hand embroidery, machine embroidery to create these works of art. And the cool thing is, she calls herself an intuitive artist. She just starts, and it's whatever her hands do.
Wow.
She doesn't start with a plan. She lets the plan evolve. She lets the art evolve.
That's brave.
No kidding. No kidding. But that's the way she works. And she says she has started out with all right, I'm going to do this. This is what it's going to be. And it doesn't work as well. She has to let it just come out of her.
Wow.
Yeah. And she was just fantastic to talk to. So she'll be Sunday. That'll be Sunday. What a talent. And I mentioned I had Carolyn Manning, who is a cross-stitch designer. And, well, we had a great conversation with her and several others lined up here. So,
great.
Yeah. Be a good number of them. So anyway, that's Sunday. What else we got going on? I guess that's it. Yeah, nothing. Yeah, bored out of our minds. Yep.
Yeah, right. Don't know what to do.
Yeah, yeah. But you guys with the cyber pointers. You guys really do a lot. You've grown fast, and I was, when we did this show, I've been kind of hanging on to this question. Are we doing enough as a hobby to help new stitchers? And I realize
Hopefully
that's,
not.
Yeah. Okay.
For one thing, it's hard to find the new stitchers, and for the new stitchers to find us as in the guilds.
Yeah.
And when I see people, sometimes when I post things on Facebook, somebody will say, "Ooh, how do I learn how to do that?" And then I say, join EGA, join ANG. That's where I learned how to do whatever it was in EGA. A lot of cities don't have chapters. So there's no physical presence. And both chapters do have an online, both organizations have online chapters. EGA has cyber stitchers and ANG has cyber pointers. But you have to be a member of the guilds to belong to either of those chapters.
Right.
And I don't know that new people would find that. So, I think you have to reach out. The local guilds have to find ways to reach out to the community. And so Robin and I are doing that here in Coralville, Iowa, through the rec center. I'm teaching a beginning cross stitch class, and she's done some needlepoint classes on perforated paper. And, so we've been doing this for, I think, a year and a half or 2 years now. And what we're finding is that we do have to keep coming up with new things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the cross stitch class, I'm not doing a new design every time because I'm using a DMC design, which I was a free project, but I did get permission from DMC to use it, to copy it and use it for these classes.
Yep.
Copyright.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't, it's a ladybug. It's got cross stitch and back stitch, and I don't see any reason to change that. So that means that people that have taken that class are not going to take it again. So I, you know, I have to, new people have to get interested in it. And the rec center is trying to do a better job this year of advertising things and on Facebook and sending pictures out, which I think will help.
Yeah. Now, all right, so the rec center, do you guys have to pay for the space, or is that part of a community outreach for them?
It's community outreach for them.
Okay. So you just get, talk to them, get on their list, and get a room for whenever, mm-hmm. and then you're able to do that. Yeah.
Well, they do all that scheduling.
Okay. Yeah.
And they take payment for the class.
You know,
they take care of all of that.
Oh, so you're on their formal activity schedule then?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Oh.
I think Beth teaches some classes, and maybe some of the other people in her guild teach classes through her library.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's another way. And we have done some things. We did a class for the Coralville Library, and Robin's been talking to North Liberty. So Coralville and North Liberty are right next to each other, right next to Iowa City. She's been talking to the North Liberty Library. We might do something for them. We are not aiming at kids.
Yeah.
We have an age limit with the rec center of, I think, 16, unless a parent is with the child.
Mm-hmm. For a lot of obvious reasons.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, part of our goal is to reach people that might be members of our local chapter at some point in time, but also to, you know, not actually one of the biggest issues that we run into is people don't know how to thread a needle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really, that's probably the biggest thing that people struggle with, mm-hmm. is getting the needle threaded.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you've got kids, it's worse.
Yeah.
But people just don't, you know, they didn't learn that kind of manual dexterity when they were kids. And so, you know, we're kind of starting at the beginning with all these classes.
Yeah.
And teaching people how to read charts and that sort of thing. Now, if they, you know, go off and go to, you know, wherever, a big box store, and buy charts and everything there to do, well, that's okay. We've got them started.
Right.
On, you know, maybe a lifelong hobby, and everybody starts somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Okay. So, all right. So that helps me, because so the local rec center, get on, and you get on your schedule, then you're in their quarterly or annual or semi-annual book of activities. But that's key, is if they're going to collect the money and deal with all the registration, boy, that's a huge administrative load off your backs. You just got to show up.
Right.
And then you guys do the stitch in public thing, which I think is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Every chapter could do that. That costs you nothing.
Right.
Yeah. And you hit some people with that. I mean, you get at least some people to look over your shoulder for that, right?
Yeah. And, you know, we're doing probably 3-4 stitch in public events a month. And I won't say that we get somebody that signs up for our newsletter every month, but we get one or two people every couple of months.
Yeah.
That are interested enough to get the newsletter for the ANG chapter that we belong to. You know, so they're learning about the kinds of things that we're offering as meeting programs and and other things that, that we're doing through getting the newsletter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just saying on there, if you don't want to get this anymore, just let me know. And I've had people drop off, which is fine.
Right.
But I do send it to a fair number of people, and, you know, hoping that at some point somebody will say, oh, I've got time to do this now. I'm going to go to a meeting.
Yeah.
See what it's all about.
Well, you know, and that's been a recurring theme in all these years of talking to designers, is learned or were exposed to needlework as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Then school, high school, college, didn't do any of it, kids, whatever, and then pick it up,
right,
and try it. Where, but the seed was planted long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's really the key to all of it, is to at least plant the seed.
Mm-hmm.
And the, yeah, because you never know when, all right, now I've got a little time and I'd like to do a hobby. Well, let me give this a whirl. And,
right.
You know, it was kind of fun when I took that one class, and then, you know, the kids got into high school and I couldn't do it. And, but yeah. Okay. So there, see, to me, there's two opportunities right there for local chapters of whatever organization at no cost other than effort,
mm-hmm,
to reach out to and maybe bring in new stitchers. Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cause that's the other thing is, oh, it's going to cost us money. We don't have money in the budget. No, it doesn't cost you anything in those two instances. You know, make up a sign, you know, and just show up and do what you're going to do in a meeting anyway, in uh-huh. terms of stitching, or what you're going to do with your friends on a Saturday morning. You know, just do it in the library. And
right.
Yeah.
Now, we worked with the library for the class that we taught, and they purchased all the materials. I made up the kit. Well, actually, no, I take that back. They even made up the kits. So our library does, every month they have some kind of a craft project. And I think 1 month it's for kids and the next month it's for adults.
Okay.
So they put together, I don't know, 50 kits or so, and say, you know, come in and grab a kit. Well, what they did for us was they combined it with a live class.
Mm-hmm.
So it was free to the whoever wanted to come. And we wound up having really too many people to really do a very good job of teaching, you know, helping everybody. And we did have some kids, they forgot to put an age limit on it. But you know, I think it was a success. And then they had the rest of the kits for people to pick up.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote the instructions and for the ladybug project, some additional instructions, because the DMC instructions are very, very minimal.
Mm-hmm.
And they made all the copies of that everything, and they cut the floss. You know, I didn't have to do anything but show up.
Wow.
Yeah. So that, you know, that was part of their program to engage with people through crafting.
Yeah.
I don't know if all the libraries do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think North Liberty does anything like that. I don't know if Iowa City does. I'm not on their mailing list. But, yeah. And then, the other thing that, Coralville does is they have, once a month or so, they get somebody in to demonstrate at, they call it the Annie Gill craft table. And I don't know who Annie Gill was, but you know, they've had the weavers come in and demonstrate weaving and spinning and that, you know, they set up to let people try, I don't think we haven't done that yet, but we will at some point in the future, you know, maybe stitch, have some perforated paper bookmarks or something like that for people to stitch up real quick. or something, you know, so people can actually see what you're doing and then also have an opportunity to try. When we're doing the stitch in Publix, we are just stitching on our projects. We don't have materials for people to sit down and try stitching.
Yeah. But
that would be another thing, you know, if a chapter wanted to do that kind of thing and they were in, you never know what kind of traffic you're going to see in the libraries. Sometimes it's pretty busy. We were there Sunday and it was pretty dead.
Yeah.
There just weren't many people out because it was really nice on Sunday. So they were probably out raking leaves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that gets to my bigger point then. There are legitimate things you can do that just require a little effort. Because you know, how many times have you talked to somebody from a chapter? We aren't getting any new members. Our members are burnt out. Nobody wants to be the chairman or the program chairman. You know, we're all so tired of this. And you know, no new members. Well, you need new blood. And So how do you get that? Well, you got to go find them. You got to go to them. They're not going to find you in your monthly meeting spot. It's just not going to happen. And, you know, and then, oh, it's going to be such an effort. And clearly it's not. You can do legitimate things simply by getting in your car and showing up.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing that we do, and I think this is the way that three of our newest members found us, was we post on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
So we have a Facebook page for the chapter, and I mean, we don't post a whole lot of projects, which I'd like to get people to do, but so far haven't had much success. But I do post all of our Stitch in Publix there.
Mm-hmm.
And actually had somebody join us on Sunday that had seen us at another Stitch in Publix event. And so she had started working on something and she needed some help. So she came and sat with us on Sunday and we helped her with what she was trying to work on. And you know, we do get people coming back to us.
Yeah.
So we'll just, you know, kind of keep at it and hopefully we'll get some more people to join us.
You need to
get yourself out there and, you know, whether it's social media or we have a website too, and maybe one of the members might have found our website. I've tried to do the search engine optimization on that. We don't get a whole lot of hits on it,
yeah,
but it's out there and some people do find us that way.
Yeah. All right. See, now you got me thinking, you know, I could do that too. I should do that.
You will. Yeah.
Just post in the local St. Louis Facebook group page, whatever it is, and set something up. Because, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, a whole bunch of libraries in the St. Louis area, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that, yeah, okay, all right. So, yeah, if we don't do that as an ongoing thing all across the country, or actually all around the world,
right.
You just don't develop new people. And, you know, people talk, well, the needlework is dying. Well, it's not dying by any stretch, but, you know, could always use more people.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of people on Facebook.
Yeah.
And, you know, all kinds of cross stitch and needlepoint and surface embroidery. And, you know, there's tons of pages. And most of these people, or a lot of them, are not guild members. They've picked it up on their own. You know, they saw a pattern on, I don't know, Pinterest maybe. Who knows? Yeah, I know. Hopefully they went and found the designer and purchased it from them.
Yeah.
But there, you know, there's plenty of designers on Etsy and, you know, maybe other places too that do really cool things.
Mm-hmm.
And so people find them. But yeah. then, so what started me on trying to do this for set something up for our chapter for teaching classes is that following some of the cross stitch pages that I follow, I saw all kinds of crazy things that people were doing because they didn't know any better. And, you know, so like doing the top cross, you know, bottom left to top right on one row and bottom yeah. right to top left yeah. on the next row because they didn't know any better.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, legitimate didn't know. Yeah.
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 And the charts don't always have that information on them. Mm-hmm. So they don't know any better.
Yeah.
That is the thing that I tell people in my classes that is the only rule in cross stitch is that your top cross has to go the same way all the time.
Yep.
Unless you decide that you want to look, you know, and maybe that is switching every other row, but it, you're doing it on purpose, not because you don't know any better.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I saw so much of that and I thought, well, you know, let's try to correct that in our little corner of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we do ask the people in the classes if they've done any stitching, and a lot of them have, you know, say, well, you know, my aunt or my grandma or my mom, you know, helped me do some cross stitching when I was small, or I saw them cross stitching or whatever, but, you know, haven't done anything for a while.
Yeah.
Or no, I've never done it. I just saw this and looked like fun. So here I am.
Yeah. Give it
a
whirl.
And I dragged my sister or my mom or you know, whatever along.
Well, and you talk about designs. I mean, if you look at the website for just about any designer of any technique, they almost all of them have a page where they'll have a free design or two. Mm-hmm. And they're invariably a simple design that you could easily put together a simple kit for, write to them and say, hey, I'd like to use this for a class, you know, at least the professional courtesy of getting permission.
Right.
And then you can use that. And a lot of times the local needlework stores will have a free design laying there by the cash register.
Yep.
That happens a lot. And, you know, same thing. So it's not like you can't find a simple, small design that you can, you know, without spending a boatload of money for charts. You can get them for free in all techniques. And, yeah, so that now you're down to thread and ground cloth, and for a lot of those, you know, they're small designs. You don't need a lot of ground cloth for each one, and I mean Aida for cross stitch or canvas. It's not that expensive, and
right.
You just go for it, and. Right. And you don't, you know, I mean, really, you don't even, for a lot of it, you don't even need hoops or right. anything to hold. You can just do it in hand. You're just trying to teach the basics. And then, yeah, like any hobby, you can go crazy. But,
mm-hmm. And this is why we're using perforated paper for the needlepoint.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's big, it's 14 count, you know, so, and you don't need to put it on stretcher bars or anything like that. We tape the edges. So mm-hmm. that you're not snagging your thread on it all the time, but otherwise, you know, you just hold it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the watchword. Keep it simple. Keep it as simple as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that you can walk in and with a small Tupperware box with your stuff for a whole class and go to it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I just think it needs to be more. And, you know, as we talk about this, I think maybe I ought to make an effort here in the St. Louis area. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm sure there are efforts being made and I'm just not connected to them, but I tend to not go out any more than I have to. So I don't know.
Well, talk to your local EGA chapter and see what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. They may have a whole thing. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. another thing. I intended to join them, and I haven't gotten to that. Nice bunch of ladies. I should make that effort.
Mm-hmm.
Just always, you know, one more thing, one more evening.
Right.
Yeah. So Then, you know, it gave Beth a hard time, and going to keep giving Beth a hard time. You know, I don't do gold work. And now she's doing gold work like a mad woman, but, and she deserves to be, you know, to be hassled about it, you know, I mean, uh-huh. and she's going to get hassled about it. But that aside, you know, look, she's a classic example. She gave it a whirl and found out she enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And
it,
you know,
wasn't as hard as she thought it would, was
right.
going
to be. Right. And, you know, to me, it's try other techniques. You know, I'm getting a little bored with cross stitch. Well, go try something else. And again, there are free charts. You can do most of it, like, you know, black work. You buy some black thread and you already have the ground cloth. But I just think it's essential that people try other techniques, even if you hate it. You know, mm-hmm. I tried it. I did a quarter of the project. Nope, not doing that. And, you know, tear out the thread, use the ground cloth for something else. But, yeah, I mean, Beth's having a great time doing the gold work. And, what you and I, we signed up for Clara's fish now. So.
I know.
And I haven't even finished the frog and I'm doing the fish.
I haven't even started the frog. but I did put Fiber Talk made me do it in the comment.
There we go. There we go. Yep. Yeah.
So, I wasn't going to do it until you guys started talking about it. And I looked at it again and it's so doggone cute.
Yep. Beth's holding out because she wants to do a lizard or something. She's got some other plan, but now she's done, Clara Warshauer's, hearts. She's done three of them now.
Right. So she's taken a class that we haven't taken. So right. I guess we're two for two.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
of us. Yeah, she did take that class, I think, right?
Right. Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're beautiful and she's having a great time doing it. And it's, but for me, it's an example of there's so much to do with needlework that you don't have to be locked into counted canvas or cross stitch or black work. You know, try something else just for variety's sake, if nothing else. And you might find you enjoy it and it gives you a new surge of enthusiasm. You just, yeah.
Right. And this is where the guilds shine.
Mm-hmm.
When I joined EGA, I knew how to do surface embroidery, crewel embroidery, and cross stitch. And, you know, since I've belonged to EGA since 1988.
Yeah.
I learned how to do black work. I learned how to do needlepoint. I learned how to do hardanger. I don't like hardanger, but I learned how to do it. I've done Japanese embroidery. I don't like Japanese embroidery, but I've done it. You know, you learn with these small projects, and most of them were small projects that we did, you know, for meetings.
Yep.
You learn what you like and what you don't like, and you learn that there are other techniques that you don't have any idea. I mean, there are several online designers that do black work. And I know that there's a lot of people that follow them because they do free stitch alongs.
Yeah.
Or, you know, stitch alongs that there's a little bit of a charge for the pattern, basically. And there's a lot of people on Facebook that I see that are doing those. So, you know, that's one thing that the three designers that I can think of off the top of my head that I follow that do primarily black work, you know, they've really reached a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's probably pages for gold work and hardanger and, you know, everything else, but I haven't looked for those. And, so I'm not following them, but I do follow several needlepoint pages on Facebook and Instagram. Well, Instagram is, you know, designers primarily that I follow. And every time you interview somebody new, I have to add them to the list.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my exposure to new techniques. Yeah.
And, you know, so here you are. This is what you're doing. You're exposing people to new techniques.
Yeah.
Through the podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's fantastic. Now, does that mean that because you talk to somebody, you know, Roberta, that's an intuitive artist, is everybody going to go off and try to be an intuitive artist? Absolutely not.
Nope.
You know, I'm not going to do that because I'm not good at drawing.
Right. Yeah. But the thing with those, like Roberta, and one that I'm interviewing tomorrow, who does abstract art with thread, is no way I'm ever doing that. Number one, I don't have the art skills,
right.
but it's your exposure to a form of needlework, needle art, that I think helps broaden your horizons. And then when you look at your project and you think, wait a minute, you know, that artist did this, and here's an opportunity. I might try a little something like that.
Right.
Or that color combination really looked good to me. I'm going to go back to that post or that photo, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to at least borrow those colors.
Yeah.
And you just never know where a little something out of one of those will come along. And you know, and then Roberta Wagner, I'm intuitive. I just have to let my hands go. Well, how many people are like that? And if you realize that that's okay, you don't have to have a drawn out plan to start with.
Huh?
You know, do you pick up needle and thread and just see what happens? You know,
right.
Yeah, to me, that's the fun of interviewing all these people is everybody is different. And it's like Dawn Fisher with reproduction samplers last week. When I looked at her samplers, it hit me as we were doing the research for her. Just about every reproduction sampler person has kind of their own look and feel for the samplers that they reproduce. Yeah. And it kind of hit me like, how can that be? But it happens. They're drawn to this type of sampler. And, you know, they all have the same alphabet samplers and blah, blah, blah. Right. But then they'll have this group of things that's them. That speaks to them. And it's so fun to see in each one what speaks to them. And you know, whether it's a simple sampler, a big one, has a lot of different stitches in it, straight cross stitch, whatever it might be. And yeah, all these artists have something to offer to all of us. To me, that's the fun of these podcasts is you learn things. And there've been many times when we need to keep the feed in the meter. We keep needing to have Sunday guests and, all right, we're going to interview this person and whatever, but it's going to fill a Sunday. And then I'll start to do the research, go, holy smokes. I can't wait to get to this person to learn more because on the surface it looked like X. And when you dig deeper, it's a whole lot more. Yeah. And then it's like, you know, let's go, let's talk to them. Let's learn. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you talk to them and you learn about, you know, how they go about their process.
Yep. Yeah. And everyone's different. Everyone has a different path. And I can't say that there's been two that matched up, come from different perspectives. It's so cool. Yep. And they're everywhere and it's fun to learn. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yep. All right. All right. Where are we at? Oh, my word. Let's do overrated, underrated.
Okay.
Okay. And the first one I had to talk to you about was thread conditioners.
I don't use them.
Don't use them.
Nope.
Me neither. Have you tried them?
I haven't tried. I have some of the silicone type. I've never used it. I have used beeswax when there was a reason to do it. Ornue was one of them. a project that I it was a class that I took, and the instructor had us use beeswax on the thread. There might have been, I don't know. There's sometimes beading. They'll tell you to use beeswax on the thread because it strengthens it and helps it. I think it keeps it from tangling. But I know a lot of people that swear. I mean, I don't know. I read a lot of people that swear by the thread conditioners and say that it, you know, helps with not with preventing tangling and all of that. I just don't like the idea of something on the thread.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Now see, I've used beeswax and like, Clara, wash hour for gold work, on some of the threads. They watch it. That's kind of a normal thing to drag it through some beeswax. That's a normal thing to do. But yeah, I've used the conditioners. I started using it. There was a silk thread that just fly away silk thread. And so I used it on there, but after a while I just quit. I didn't like putting some synthetic thing on silk thread. I'm with you. And I also found that, on really dry days when it was flying all over the place, that just the damp sponge and dragging it through the damp sponge to put a little moisture in it took care of that problem.
Yeah.
And, so then, you know, and I have a couple of the little containers of the thread conditioner. I have whatever brand it is. I don't remember. One that's discontinued, one you can still get. Right. But, you know, I have them, but I haven't touched them in forever.
I mean, they're silicone, which is inert, and I wouldn't expect them to affect the thread itself, but I don't know how sticky they are. Beeswax is pretty sticky.
Yeah.
But I don't know how sticky the silicone ones are. And if you don't put glass on your piece, is that going to attract more dust and make it stick? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's I put glasses point. On my pieces. So
you do, I talked over you there. You do put glass on?
I do put glass. Yeah. I use museum glass.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in that camp too. Museum glass. And people say, "Well, dust gets in there anyway." Not like it does if you leave it open. So
absolutely.
Yeah, no, I'm a firm believer in glass, and and if nothing else, it keeps people from touching it.
Right. You can wipe fingerprints off the glass.
Yep. Yeah. No.
But so. You know, there's just a lot of stuff in the air that we can't see until it builds up.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, you can use a low power vacuum with some, you know, like a nylon or something over the end of it to vacuum. But, you know, if there's something there that's a little sticky on the threads, I don't know that the vacuum would get it off.
Right.
And.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. So overrated, underrated, we would say.
Overrated.
Overrated. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, beeswax is kind of its own thing in that it's almost a requirement for things
for
like gold
techniques.
Work. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But to use that on, say, silk thread on a sampler, no way. No. I wouldn't do it. But yeah, I don't like that. Okay. All right. Here's another one. This one, I'm not sure how I feel. All right. Overrated, underrated, Aida.
Maybe underrated because you can stitch on Aida and get a beautiful product.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to stitch on because the holes are a little more obvious.
Yeah.
Now I don't usually stitch on Aida. I stitch on linen. And mom was a snob about it. She only wanted to stitch on linen until she got to the point to where she couldn't see it. And so she tried a project on Aida and, you know, she could see it. She could stitch on it.
Yeah.
It, you know, it wasn't her favorite thing, but she wanted to stitch. So I think it's a good way to start and maybe a good way to end if, you know, when your vision starts to fail a little bit, or you have some kind of vision issue like macular degeneration or whatever, it's a way for you to keep stitching when you can't stitch on the, you know, 40 count linen or 50,
yeah.
50 yep. I don't know what, I mean, I do have some projects on 40 count linen. I struggle with it.
Mm.
36 is good for me.
That's your thing.
Yeah.
See, 40 for me. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And the difference is trivial.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. No, I just want 40. Yeah. No,
because you only want to use one thread.
That's right. That's right. I mean, that's exactly it. That's the only reason. Yep. I don't want to deal with two threads. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And sometimes I'll on 36 count, I'll use two threads. Sometimes I use one thread. It just kind of depends on what I'm doing and whether or not one thread gives me good enough coverage.
Well, once you get in the mid 30s, then you get in that gray area of what gives you the coverage you want and whether you like it. Yeah. And what thread you're using.
32 count, I'm going to use two strands.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But 36, it could go either way.
Yeah. Yep. So see, I would say Aida is underrated. And I also, it frustrates me because people tend to thumb their nose at it if they've been stitching for very long.
Yeah.
And that's very unfortunate. Because these days you can get Aida dyed in all kinds of colors.
Right.
And there are several thread count sizes. Mm-hmm. It allows you, because you know where the holes are at and they're consistent, as opposed to linen where you might get that big thick thread and then a little tiny thin one.
Right.
You will get a consistent X if you're doing cross stitch.
Right.
Every time. It looks uniform. It is uniform. And your tension is still always important, but not as critical because you have something to hold that thread.
Right.
And I think it doesn't get the credit it should as a good ground cloth for anyone.
Right.
And, you know, people say, kind of view like, I graduated to linen. I'm good enough now, I can use linen. No. And there are just too many options. I mean, I think, you know, long ago it probably was just white and off-white, huh?
Probably.
Yeah. And now, yeah.
I would say, and this is true of any of your materials, that you should buy the best that you can afford. I have seen a lot of complaints. Again, this is on the Facebook pages I follow, where somebody bought some cheap Aida and found out that it wasn't even.
Mm.
You know, it was longer one direction than it was the other. Mm. Or it, you know, was loose and floppy and they had trouble with it, you know, any number of things.
Yeah.
I've seen some that was so stiff that you couldn't put a hoop on it. It was almost as stiff as paper.
Paper.
It had so much, I mean, it almost felt like plastic.
Wow.
And I don't know where it came from, but I use a hoop pretty much all the time because my tension tends to be too tight if I don't have the fabric supported pretty stably.
She just collapses the linen into a big wad.
You should see pulled thread pieces that I've done. Yeah.
It's not a workout, Cindy. It's...
No, it's a way to get your frustration out, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, true.
Take it out on the fabric and then let the poor framer try to figure out how to get it stretched out straight.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yep. No, I think it needs to get more credit.
I do, too. I think it's, again, you know, get the best that you can afford. And some of it is, you know, you learn by buying pieces from wherever you're going to get it.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's something that is worth stitching on. So it does take some experience, I think, to find the best sources. But if you can, again, get it from a needlework shop, you know that you're going to get something that's good.
Yeah. Ooh, buying a piece of Aida and learning it's not the same wide as it is long. Ooh.
Yeah.
That'd be a little frustrating.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't even think of that.
I know.
Just make a and basic assumption.
I don't know
assumption.
How much it was off. You know, it probably wasn't off that much.
But still,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. No, I think that I saw what made me put it on the list was I saw something not too long ago that somebody stitched on Aida, and I didn't know it was Aida. And it was like, wow, that really looks great. Mm-hmm. And then it was, yeah, so what's wrong with Aida? Because look at this. It's beautiful.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And when it's covered with thread, who cares what's underneath it, you know?
Yeah, right.
It just doesn't matter.
But by the same token, I don't think people should be afraid of linen.
No. No. Nope. It's just a grid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't apologize.
You know, oh, it's just Aida.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, don't. No, no. You made it. Be proud of it.
Yep. Yep.
Definitely. Oh, it's just Aida, and I'm just such a beginner. No, no.
No.
You made it. Here, this is what I did. Move on. Yep.
Yeah. And don't tell us where you made the mistakes.
Yeah.
Or
no.
You made mistakes. Own it.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Because I challenge anyone. Come back a year later and look at a piece and tell me where your mistakes are at. You won't remember. No.
Right.
No.
Right.
Nope. All right. One more. Overrated, underrated. Silk thread.
I love silk thread. I guess I'm going to go kind of in between on that because I do love silk thread, but I use a lot of cotton thread,
mm-hmm.
DMC and Cosmo. Cosmo is a beautiful thread. I use a lot of overdyed cotton from various sources.
Yep.
I think they're both beautiful.
Yeah. I think overrated, but I'm kind of in the middle too, because, I mean, I use silk most of the time,
mm-hmm.
but, and I really don't know why I just use silk. I don't know that it matters. And, you know, how many times have you seen a piece done with DMC and you go, wow, mm-hmm. you know, why did I spend money on silk? Look at that.
Right.
You know, it's gorgeous and the colors are rich and people will talk about silk like it's, you know, the ultimate, like mm-hmm. you're the advanced stitcher, you're highly skilled, which, you know, spare me all of that.
Right.
But, no, it's another thread.
Right.
Yeah. That you may or may not
like. Maybe you choose it for the sheen.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does have a different sheen than cotton does.
Yeah.
Or maybe the designer chose. I mean, if you're doing a pattern that a designer did and you're using the threads the designer used, you know, the designer chose it for its properties, most likely.
Right. Yep. No,
especially if it's stranded, you know, it is, I don't see any difference on it.
No. Stitch is nice. It's a different feel, but,
uh-huh.
You know, to me, when I first started using it, wow, this is really nice, but now I don't notice it. You know, it's not like, oh, I still love silk thread because it's just so nice. It's just thread,
mm-hmm.
Just stitches. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's like any other thread. Some brands are really good and some brands you hate.
Yes. Yeah. And I can give you a silk thread that I'll never use again. Yeah. And then others that I would buy the whole line if I could.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But then, you know, you take your cotton thread, Cosmo or DMC or Sullivan, or, you know, they all have pros and cons, but they're all quite good. I mean, if you buy a name brand cotton thread, they're made well and the colors are good and there's a big variety. And yeah.
And again, it's an experience kind of thing
mm-hmm.
that you learn as you stitch what you prefer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe it's a, maybe you need a range of colors and, you know, one brand doesn't have the range that you need. So you go and look at another brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That and especially if you're playing with colors, if you're one of those who's playing with colors and adjusting, that mm-hmm. starts to then dictate what you use.
Right.
And sometimes you even find that you have to mix thread brands.
And they're done that.
Yep. And just to get the right shade. So,
right.
But that, yeah, that's a different level for just regular, I'm stitching what was designed kind of thing. Silk's a nice choice, but doesn't, and I don't think that means you're a better stitcher or a worse stitcher. It's just another thread.
Right. Well, and, you know, kind of along with that, pearl cotton. Mm-hmm. Did you have pearl cotton on your list at one point? Did you and Beth talk about that? I can't remember.
I think so. Not sure. Don't remember.
But, you know, that's another one that people kind of look down on. It's, you know, it's a little bit of a snobbery, but
yeah.
Gan Rogers uses pearl cotton. Debbie yep. Rowley uses pearl cotton.
Yep.
You know, there's any number of designers that use pearl cotton and it's beautiful.
Yeah. I think it's a fun challenge to stitch with pearl cotton.
Yeah.
Because it's a fun challenge to get your stitches consistent and not have it wind too tight on you or get too loose.
Oh, yeah.
And to make sure that it isn't fraying on you and you get a bunch of dull stitches before you realize it. Mm-hmm. To me, there's a little extra challenge to pearl cotton that you don't normally get. Mm-hmm. With other threads. So I enjoy stitching with it. But, yeah, there's an extra element there to get it to look good, mm-hmm. which I think is kind of fun in its own right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's a nice thread. Yeah. All right. That's going to be enough.
Yeah.
I think so. Do not break copyrights. Buy your own stuff. Tell your friends to buy their own copies.
Amen.
Thanks for listening.